Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottiglio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Steve Geller's joining us also. They were at the Saints practices today. It was indoors. It was hot, but they were indoors. And, man, the business was picking up, so to speak, today. A spirited practice. Bob, I'll throw it to you first. It's Bobby's Notebook, and it's brought to you by Rouse's Markets, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. And, guys, it sort of was one of the better practice sessions that I know a lot of people say that they've seen in years.
Yeah, for the defense.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, I don't know what he drank this morning or before. He
was extra caffeinated.
Yeah, he was fired up. That's good. You want to see that passion and all. Kool-Aid was talking smack. The whole defense, you know, you want them to have that swagger. If you have a defense that has no swagger, you have no defense. You know, you got to play with the utmost confidence. And I would definitely say the defense was winning the majority of the drills. Now, it wasn't all the time. I thought maybe, Mike, when we went inside, it could be a good sign for Tyler Shuck, considering what he did in the OTAs and minicamp. Not so fast. He ended up throwing, you know, a couple of interceptions. Honestly,
his first picks of camp.
His first picks of camp. When you look at it, Stephen, Mike, it's like you call it like you see it. And if you didn't know who none of the quarterbacks were, you can't say, Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler, they're head and shoulders above Hayner. No, they're not. If you don't know who nobody is and who's making plays, Hayner's hanging. And he showed a lot of emotion at the end when they went off script, 2 minute. I don't know. When we ran 2 minute offense and we watched this a number of years with like Drew Brees and Sean Payton, I don't think they ever went backwards. You know, you try to go forward to score. I wrote this one thing with Shuck. I mean, it was like a flag, holding penalty, sack, and then a fumble. Oh, like, you know, the fans all excited. Oh, we got a chance to come back. Not so fast.
No, it went all downhill. It started out with the flag on the O-line, like you said, holding. And then a sack.
And then a fumble,
two
pressure.
2 minute drill over.
Yeah, 2 minute drill over. And how it started, Mike and Steve, it was like, you remember, Sean used to do this, a number of teams do this. It was a minute and 40 seconds left. We lose them by four, and we have one timeout.
Need the touchdown.
Yeah, we need a touchdown. Very similar to when we played the Eagles. I think, if I can recall, it was like a minute and 50-some seconds left. You know, and by the way, we did talk to Jordan Howland today. I had to bring it up, though. And, you know, he admitted, he goes, yeah, I messed up, but that's in the past.
Yeah, one stung him.
Yeah, it stung him. He goes, I'm trying to go forward. But, that was a situation. Yes, you keep the Eagles out of the end zone because you're up by four, a minute 50-some seconds left, and we all know the Eagles started out 2-2. They could have very well been like 1-3, and we could have been 3-0. Boy, you never know how that ball's going to bounce. But that was the scenario. They gave all the quarterbacks an opportunity. Can you drive the team down and get a touchdown? And, you know, we had a situation, I think it was Rattler that would have been in there, to throw like a Hail Mary or something. But Coach Moore don't want that, you know, like a jump ball. Somebody got hurt.
You didn't need that. Yeah, got that kind of mess in the end zone.
Yeah. You didn't want that. But a number of players making plays. And without Juwan Johnson being available, Jack Stahl, I mean, he's like.
Let Stahl eat.
Jack Stahl had three catches on him. For like 30 yards. So, Mike, he's a 10-yard guy.
It's like, yep. Hey, I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that. Without a doubt, you would take that. And I tell you what, he made one back shoulder catch because they did red zone team. That was impressive from Rattler that I thought, taking advantage of his opportunity with Juwan Johnson not being part of the mix. But when you look at it, Mike, it was like across the board. Things we want to see, especially from a defensive perspective, different players making plays like, DeMario Davis, pass defended. because they're going to drop in coverage. Cam Jordan, pass defendant. Brian Brzee, pass defendant. So you see a number of those that came about. And, you know, it's kind of unusual when you see, like, Cam Jordan, you know, in coverage. Because now, you know, 3-4 instead of 4-3. So when I looked at, you know, the ebb and flow of the team, and I was like, you want it to be 50-50, but no, the defense was winning. But you had good competition. You know, the offense was able to score some touchdowns in the red zone. And I'm going to talk about two individuals that Mike, like all of a sudden you do this in preseason games. Like you have, for instance, I want you to comment on these two guys right here. Okay, Chris Rumpf, the second. He's not a junior. He goes, Chris, I think you put on that right, Rumpf.
Rumpf, yeah.
From Duke, yeah, fifth-year guy, 6'2", 244. Well, Mike, he had two sacks today and a tackle for a loss. You know, if he does that against the Chargers or something, now who you going against? You know, but I can see why he's last. He's very active. And then the rookie. How about Jasheen Davis? The rookie from Wake Forest, 6'3", 270. He had three sacks on the day. And I said, well, who in the hell is blocking him? You know what? You know, it didn't look too good, and the Saints looking at him made to provide depth. Ezrim? Was that the Eastern
Kentucky? Ezrim, right.
Yeah, the Eastern Kentucky guy.
Guys, that's back-to-back days he's struggling.
Yeah. Well, Mike, that's not good. Not good for him.
No, it's not.
You know, when you see that. So, but looking at it was team periods, 7-on-7, red zone team, 2-minute. They got a lot in. Very similar. You know, you see like now they got the pads on. To me, it's like camp has really started and how they're competing and talking smack to one another. And you need that. If you look at Shuck finally, and this is a good thing that happened to him, even though he threw those couple of picks, there was a deep ball that he threw to Olave. And Isaac Yadam and Burgess didn't end up getting called. I didn't hold them. So they had officials out there, so they threw the flag. But you know what? He didn't complete the pass, but he challenged the defense, and at least he got a penalty.
And you saw Bobby right in front of us. Yadam was yapping with the referees nonstop afterwards.
Yeah, I didn't hold him. He goes, yeah, that's what they all say.
He's like, yeah, you did. You were tugging on the jersey.
Well, he's getting used to game day, too.
Exactly.
Well, Mike, if I'd have been an official, I'd say, well, did you see Olave's jersey? It didn't happen by accident. It's a lot of whack got pulled out beyond his shoulder pads. So when I saw that, like, Hayner came in there, like Bub Means plus 12. Bub Means has been steady. Now, can he stay healthy and put some good film out there on preseason game, Chargers, right. Jags, whatever it might be. Groupies, then they had a special teams period. He is still steady. I don't know. His name should be
Steady Eddie.
Steady Eddie or Eddie Grouper. Groupie. I mean, Mike, he's now 19 of 20, and he made actually his longest attempts. You know, they're not trying to let's make a 60-yarder or like 62. Well, his two attempts, that was the longest attempts in camp. He made a 51 and a 53-yarder. So the only one he had missed was when it was, like, raining. So he's now 19 of 20. And, Mike, talking about taking advantage of opportunity, this is a team period. Rattler was in there. They ran a screenplay to Jack Stoll. Without Juwan John, guess how much they would have gained? 10 yards. So that was a nice tight end screen. You don't see that too much. You see running back and wide receiver screens.
Sean Payton ran a lot of tight end screens.
Right, right.
He did a lot of that. Now, I've noticed that even with the Eagles, and Steve, you watch them a lot more than, say, I do, but they did a lot of that throughout the years. Not so much last year, but in years past, they would do that little tight end screen quite a bit. Now, again, with the weapons they got, mm-hmm. you can just about run what you want when you got the kind of guys they got. But I remember Sean putting a lot of emphasis on trying to get the football out. If it was Shockey, if it was Jimmy Graham, Ben Watson, you name it, all the tight ends on that tight end screen, because his feeling was, and I think maybe, Bob, you had asked him this one Monday night, his deal was one tackle and he's out into the open field.
Yeah, yeah. And Mike, you know, it's all about opportunity. I look at, like, for instance, you know what I was excited about? That he wasn't out of sight, out of mind? Because we paid him big bucks. I said, I think he needs to be at a Pro Bowl level, considering our depth at tight end right now.
Yeah.
You look, Juwan Johnson not being available.
Today.
He was limited, but at least he was out there.
Right.
And, like, in the past, it seems like, he'll be back. We'll see his face in 2 or 3 weeks. And he was actually there, you know, that slight groin, whatever. And so doing work on the sideline, so that was encouraged. You know who always, Mike, who's a steady receiver, is Tipton. That's another one. He's like in nothing, like a simple out route. It might be like plus 12 yards. But when I look at like Mason Tipton, Mike, remember how he was all camp last year?
He was unbelievable.
And then I think he was unbelievable on Irvine for sure. Yeah. And then he gets hurt. And then we never talked about it.
We've been writing down number 15 a whole lot in notes, Bobby.
And all the quarterbacks throw to
right.
And, you know, you might see an explosive play, but you see a lot of, like, good, great route running, like a 12, 15-yard play, like an outright route that's crisp, you know, and stuff. So you see a lot of that. But I was just looking at defense overall, what was winning. But Mike, this was a nice play with Chuck. I think he finally got in a little groove. When he hit in the seam, Molokai, the rookie from UCLA, that was a nice read. That would have been like a plus 20-yard gain. So that's another one taking advantage of a tight end rep. But then right after he had that play, you know, he never wanted that ball being batted up in the air. You know, oh, no, that's like a lollipop for the DBs. Yeah. So Danny Stutzman.
Stutzman knows for the football, man.
That pass defending knocks it up. And then interception by Nephi Sewell. So that's what ended up happening. And then that's when it's kind of started with the names we're not familiar with. Jasheem Davis, Hainer came in there and he got a sack. And that being the rookie from Wake Forest. Mike, I want you to comment when we come back from the break a little bit about him. He's like 6'3", 270. I don't know, maybe it could be who he's going against while he's putting up.
I would think that's partially.
The nice number, so.
You said about Stutzman is this. If there was a knock on him in college, it was that he was – I told this to Steve this morning. He's a bit of a guesser.
Well, he was guessing right a lot of times.
Now, his run defense, his ability to flow real well side to side, he's a good open field tackler. But in coverage – that was a lot of guessing with him. I think it's going here, and it, you know, somebody would have one right over the top with him. So I'm glad to hear that.
He doesn't look like a stiff.
No, no. Never was, but I think that part of guessing.
Yeah, with he get burned.
It's always, come on, you went against corners like that, Bob. They would try to guess the play. Now, sometimes it was a hit, and sometimes it was a miss. But you knew who the guessers were. That played corner. Guys that would try to cheat a little bit.
Yeah, and cheat. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not. Now, if you're more right than wrong, then the coaches live with that. But you know who was a guesser in the passing game? He was a Pro Football Hall of Famer. God rest his soul. Junior Seau. Well, you could burn him in coverage because he wanted to knock the crap out of you. Do play action, he's downhill and kind of loses responsibility what he had in pass coverage. So, no, there's an art to that. You know, I think we got our linebackers been pretty disciplined in pass coverage so far.
We'll be back with more sports talk and more coverage from the Saints camp right here on the Big 870 WWL.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike DiTullio along with Bobby Hebert, Steve Geller. Both guys were there at the indoor practice and pads. And guys, I want to ask you, both of you, this question. I know we saw it in the past, not so much under Dennis Allen, but with Coach Payton, he ran a lot of 4-minute drill. In essence, you got the ball with 4 minutes left.
Right.
And okay, you're trying to score, but you're also trying to take the tick-tock off the clock. You don't want to give nobody else any time anymore to come back and get you. And what you were talking about today, a minute 45. So that is what Kellen Moore was doing today with a minute 45 and one timeout.
Well, we still have a lot of camp left, but we're not there yet. We're doing baby steps, Mike.
I got you. No, that's why I'm asking.
You know, we're trying to get a drive together. and not go backwards. Hopefully, do I look at it? Try to look at the glass half full. I said maybe under Coach Daly, our defense is going to come together, and maybe our defense the expectations will be better than they were last year because there's nowhere to go really but up.
You talk about vocal guys. You know, we were saying with Kool-Aid. Man, oh man, I'll tell you what, Chase Young has been really active out there too, hooting and hollering and being in the ref's ears as well.
And that's unusual for him.
Right.
Because he's not been a real vocal guy.
He grabbed the flag from the ref's pocket today even and threw it on the ground.
Mike, he seems like he has the enthusiasm. And, if I can recall, he said, what was his highest sack total? As a rookie, what was it?
Yes, as a rookie.
What did he have? Right on the edge of almost having 10 sacks.
He didn't get 10.
Eight and a half or something like that.
Something to that range.
I think what he had last year, four. He's going to double that.
Five and a half last year.
Five and a half.
He had a ton of pressures.
Right. Yeah.
He just didn't close the deal.
I could see that counting on him, and I know the team is, that not only to keep getting those pressures, but hitting double-digit sacks. So having 10 or 11 sacks, because he's always putting pressure. You know, and a lot of times, do they blow the play dead? Did you get a sack or not? Because you're not taking the quarterback down. So a couple of downs, at times, he's telling Kellen Moore, like, oh, man, that'd have been a sack.
Yeah.
That play doesn't count. You know, so that's good for the defense.
Yeah, right.
Now, not so much good for the offense. But they've kind of traditionally, you know, what they've done is, like, team periods. Like today, like 7-on-7 on the Sean, and then, you know.
We had no sevens today.
Team and then red zone team, and then the two-minute. But, Mike, that four-minute offense, that is important how you close out games. Because I told you that drill which Sean would do in a number of efficient offenses, if you can run that four-minute offense and your opponent's thinking, man, we're right there, one score, we can win this game, but they don't get the ball back. That is so discouraging when you want to stop them, but you can't stop them. And then the team you're trying to stop, let's say like it's 4 minutes and something, and you might be winning by two or three, four, whatever it might be. You know, oh, we got to get the ball back. We score, we're going to win.
You drain that clock.
But you don't have to score. You just go all the way down and you do like win the game play. When the quarterback gets in the huddle and he just kneels down. Mike, because they have no timeouts or anything.
You know, that's the most discouraging, humbling thing when that happens. That's horrible. You're trying to stop them and they're running the clock out. At the Louisiana line camp, we had a number of the coaches from the Kansas City Chiefs on defense. And, man, they was all bitching about one thing. Man, we hate that four-minute offense drill. And he said, Andy runs it and runs it and runs it. And, okay, with Mahomes – man, he knows what to do with it, and then he don't leave you no clock left. That's the worst part.
Well, what's also the worst part, and I think you see this with Kellen, and they had the confidence, when you're running four-minute offense, now the game's close, not depending on the field position, but when Mike, you're looking at it, okay, not only do I have three downs to get 10 yards, we have four downs.
Four, yep.
And you know, like, oh, shoot, it's like the tush push, here it comes. Oh, and then you got to eat up your timeouts, or we have no timeouts left, and then the game's over. You know, that's discouraging. We're not there yet, you know, but that's when you ultimately know you're clicking is when the defense, they know they have to stop you, but they just can't.
What was interesting today, too, guys, there was a roster move with the Saints. They brought in a third punter. And Kai Kroger, Hunter Decker is the fourth-string quarterback. He has been let go, but just – curious to me that we have
three punters now in camp. Coach Moore, he gave some political answer. I don't know. It's like
we're just trying to find who works best for us.
Yeah, one of those like
okay, who's doing the holding for the kicker? Is it the punter, Burnham?
Oh, yeah. Burnup is doing the holding, right?
Yes, he was holding today.
Okay, yeah, that tells me the story.
Well, he was
not good news for Hayball then.
Well, no, it isn't.
He was doing the holding, and a group he's not missing.
Right.
That's even more important.
And then the kicker's like, I hope this guy can punt because I really like him as the holder because you're not going to have a guy on the team. Oh, I made the roster. I'm a holder. You know, you got to do more than one thing. So,
but, Bob, at one time, I know you played. Martin was unbelievable. But at one time, I know John
Fulton had a bunch of holders.
He said, Mike, they had a bunch of holders. It wasn't just the punter. Like he said, it depended on who Martin liked the most hold for him because 4K told me that he held for a while with Martin.
Yeah, he held Brian Hansen. When you play 25 years, you got a lot of different holders, Mike.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is that the holder has no say-so.
Yep.
It's whatever how the kicker wants it. He wants the ball. And so you have to bow down and do what he says. Do you know what's crazy, Mike? I'm playing quarterback my senior year on, you know, high school and all that. I've never held in my life.
That was going to be the next thing I asked you. Did you ever hold?
No, I never held because I was always playing. You know, the starting quarterback don't hold. You know, it's not the extra point. You know, they don't do that. Think about, can you imagine, just look around the NFL. I think even in, maybe not in high school, but I know like college and all that, it's never.
Never the starter.
Like Nussmeier, he's not holding for the LSU kicker, right?
No, it's the punter.
I'm sure Drew Brees probably did everything. But then, when you think about it, you don't see Pat Mahomes holding. You know, that'd be a red flag. Go, Pat Mahomes holding. That's a trick play.
Yeah. What I thought, maybe you did it in high school.
No. I went from free safety to starting quarterback. So
okay.
So my guy,
guys,
I'll
throw y'all a trivia question. We're talking about field goals. You know how many 50-yard or more field goals were made? I did a little research. I got a little time on my hands now. So how many field goals of 50 yards or more were made last year in the NFL? Now remember, 17-game season. How many you think were made?
I think, Mike. Now I'm just guessing here, speculating. That I would think if it's in the conversation, if not the most, it's probably one of the most, because now it's almost like, well, hell yeah, you better make it between 40 and 50 yards. And the way the kickers are now in the profession, like especially 50 to 55, they looking at that, we got to make that. Almost like a 45 yard or something.
234.
234
field goals were made from 50 yards or more. And you know what the percentage on those 50-yard-plus field goals were? Almost 72%. 71.7. Man, it's like it's almost routine now, don't we
right?
see a 55, a 58-yard field goal in, I'm not saying every game, but almost every game.
Well,
somebody lines up for one.
Well, Mike, it's like, oh, you know, I hope he makes it. You're almost like, oh, we're going to make this. Because even it could be for us or against us, like particularly against us. That Korean kicker for the Falcons?
Yeah.
You remember when he's kicking a 50-something yarder, you're like all ticked off. Like, man, we let him get too close. He'll make that. And when you know it, he makes it. Now, he had a little slump last year. But you know I'm talking about those game-winning kicks.
Koo, yeah.
Yeah, Koo. Yeah, Tefu, Koo.
But, man, can he kick. I know he went through a little slump, but, man, I'd want him on my football team. That was Bobby's Notebook, and it was brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. A lot more with Bob's Notebook right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Steve Geller, both guys that practiced today. And Bobby's Notebook is brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Guys, someone asked me this because we talked about tight end screens that both of you talked about. Wide receiver screens. I do know one thing with Kellen Moore. Having watched how we use CeeDee Lamb, went to Cowboys, and then last year, if it was A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, have we seen a lot of that in practice?
No, not that I can recall, Mike. I don't know.
We've seen a few jet sweeps.
Yeah, like a jet sweep, but no really wide receiver screens. And I don't know if they want – that'd be more Rashid Shaheed play, which would make sense.
Yes.
Not a Chris Olave play.
Or Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, exactly. But, Mike, maybe they're keeping that in their back pocket.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. But you would think they would do that. But, no, we have not really. We've seen running back screens.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, not the tight end screen. So,
Steve, you watched the Eagles play a lot, and they did a lot of that with Kellen Moore. If it was to A.J., or if it was Devontae Smith. Now, Devontae's been doing that since he was in high school. He did it at Alabama. He's done it with the Eagles. But they ran a lot of that wide receiver screen with the Eagles last year with Kellen Moore, much more than they've done in years past.
Yeah, that's why you just mentioned with the fact that the skill set of like a Brandon Cooks or with a Rashid Shaheed would be more adept to, you know, fulfill that with the Saints. We haven't seen anything like that yet. I did mention, you know, a few jet sweeps from like Chris Olave, but nothing in the screen game.
But you know what was crazy? I remember I was ticked off and getting on him on the radio when he first got here. We drafted him, Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Brandon Cooks would run a jet sweep, and if it wasn't wide open, he would just fall down because he's little. But, you know, he'd run that at Oregon
State.
But
you mentioned, look how beefy he is now. No, he's definitely jacked up.
Hey, I got to give Brandon Cooks a lot of credit. He looks like he ain't sitting on the couch. He looks yoked. He looks compact. I mean, he's learning how to be a pro. I looked at him, he looks jacked. He looks like, I don't know. You know, when you got more muscles, you just look tougher. That don't mean you're tougher, but at least I think what's great is if you have muscles and you are tough. You know, I think that helps versus like, okay, you're tough, but you're just a soft body. Give me a muscle guy that is tough. I don't know, because law of averages, physics, they probably could be a badass. So, I don't know. Cooks looked, he looked the part, and that whole jet sweep thing, it's like, you know, setting up the blocks. Or can you get that burst? You know, a jet sweep could be like a simple thing because you outflank the defense. Oh, that one taking it to the house, 8 or 9 yards. Wasn't it the first play? Now I'm just having a recollection. The Bengals, the first time Rashid Shaheed touched the ball against the Bengals, remember in the Superdome?
Yep.
Didn't he go for 40-something yards?
Yeah.
What? So, hell yeah, we need to run that play. Now,
but that might be something, as you pointed out, Bobby, they keep it in their hip pocket.
Yeah, yeah. That was, right play at the right time. I was like, whoa, he was hitting it and getting it. And yeah, so they have to utilize that. The same thing, like, we need to run more screens. Well, it depends who's running the screens, because it is a skill set, how you patient. You got to be patient and let the blockers and not just take off. You got to set up and know how to cut and utilize your blockers. Who's the poster child in a Saints uniform?
Probably Pierre Thomas.
Pierre Thomas in NFL history. It's like the coaching clinic. I was a running back. I was patient enough. It was always a positive play. Hey, let the lineman get out in front of him, and then you got to be patient and cut. Oh, I wrote that today. You know who had a nice run that Mike would have been? Only a 6-yard gain, and he showed patience. What was your boy Neal?
Devin Neal.
I was like, man, he's like kind of half-stepping. You know, he's like picking and choosing. Then all of a sudden he hit it. So that would have been a 6-yard gain. And, you know, it looks like, come on, you got to hit it and get it. You got to have that vision and that patience. And I saw that in that one Neal run today where I would end up getting like 6 yards because he let the blocking in front of him take place. But no, that's whether if you're running a screen, whether it's wide receiver, tight end, or running back, no, not just everybody can do that. You have to be patient enough and have to have good ball vision skills as far as how you're cutting off the blocks and letting the blockers help you to be productive.
I think about when the Saints picked him, and I talked about this. Can you name me another player off the Kansas offense? So no. If I'm playing the Jayhawks, guess who I had to stop?
Yeah.
Everything was about, hey, we got to slow down or stop Devin Neal. And, man, that's a lot of pressure on a guy when everything is focused around you. Okay, when you play LSU, okay, you got Caden Durham, you got Chris Hilton, you got the two tight ends, you got Tre'Davious Green, you got Barry and Brown. Now, it's across the board. But with Kansas, name me another guy off that team.
No, on that team, because you look at history, Mike, because you think of Kansas Jayhawks, you think of not the Wildcats in Manhattan, but the Kansas Jayhawks, you think in basketball.
Yes,
you know,
true.
Team, no. But now football, this is unbelievable. When you think about one of the greatest running backs in professional football history, the Kansas Comet, Yeah, what, he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame after 7 years. Remember Gale Sayers?
And it tore up his knee.
Yeah.
And then John Riggins.
John Riggins, yes, with the Redskins, the Hogs up front.
Man, my thing is, I'd have loved to have followed John Riggins in Kansas. Boy, I bet he had a good time, because he has a good time anywhere he's at.
Well, I love John Riggins, and to this day, Mike Ditka, God bless him, he's dealing with dementia.
Yeah,
I think
Alzheimer's.
Really yeah, is. Right now. But I tell you what, the new CBA and the old players of the pension, Mike, I'm getting ready to get that August 19. I'm all
How
excited.
How about that, brother?
Hey, John Riggins. John Riggins, and I'm telling you, Mike Ditka went to bat for the old players. And John Riggins' wife is a national, like, recognized labor lawyer. They went before Congress. So I will never say anything bad about Mike Ditka or John Riggins. I can tell you that right now.
That's it for our segment here of Bobby's Notebook, brought to you by Rouse's Markets. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one of Sports Talk right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Steve Geller. When we come back at 5:10 from the RU Sirius Network, covers the LSU Tigers and the second day of practice for LSU. And I say it's fall practice. Some people say it's summer, but it's getting ready for the 2025 season. We'll have Blake on with us. We'll talk some LSU, and then we'll come back to Bobby's Notebook, talking about some of the things that happened today during the Saints practice sessions. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.